Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Parikshit Cursed by a Brahmin Boy, Text 33. Aho Adharma Palana Pivna Bali Bhujam Iva Svamin Yagam Yad Dasanam Dvara Panam Shunam Iva. Aho Adharma Palanam Pivnam Bali Bhujam Iva Swamin Yagam Yadasanam Dvarapanam Shunamiva. Aho Adharma Palanam Pivnam Bali Bhujamiva Swamin Yagam Yadasanam Dvarapanam Shunamiva. Aho Adharma Palanam Pivnam Bali Bhujamiva Swamin Yagam Yadasanam Dvarapanam Shunamiva. Aho Adharma Palanam Pali Bhajamiva Swami Nyagamya Dasavan Vabhanam Shunamiva. Aho Adharma Palanam Vivnam Bali Bhajamiva Swami Nigamya Dharam Swarapanam Shunamiva. Oanarma Pavanam Dvarapanam Shunamiva. Aho Adharma Palanam Namali Bhujamiva Swaminya Gamiya Dasanam. Aho Adharma Palanam Apalim Vidanivam Aho Adharma Palanam Pali Bhajamiva Swamin yagam yadasanam. Dharmanam shinamiva. Vaishnavis. Aho anarma palanam. Amiva. Samin yagam yadasanam. Parapanam sasamiva. Ahoa dharma palanam. Bibnam vali bhajamiva. Swamin yagam yadasanam. Dvayapanam sinamiva. Aho, just look at adharmaha, irreligion, palanam, of the rulers, bivnam, of one who is brought up, balibujam, like the crows, iva, like, swamini, unto the master, agam, sin, yet, what is, dasanam, of the servants, dvarapanam, keeping watch at the door, shunam, of the dogs, iva, like. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The Brahmin's son Sringi said, oh, just look at the sins of the rulers who like crows and watchdogs at the door perpetrate sins against their masters contrary to the principles governing servants. Purport. The Brahmins are considered to be the head and brains of the social body, and the Kshatriyas are considered to be the arms of the social body. The arms are required to protect the body from all harm, but the arms must act according to the directions of the head and brain. That is the natural arrangement made by the supreme order. For it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that the four social orders or castes, namely the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Sudras, are set up according to the quality and work done by them. Naturally, the son of a Brahmana has a good chance to become a Brahmana by the direction of his qualified father, as a son of a medical practitioner has a very good chance to become a qualified medical practitioner. So the caste system is quite scientific. The son must take advantage of the father's qualifications and thus become a Brahmana or medical practitioner, and not otherwise. Without being qualified, one cannot become a Brahmin or medical practitioner. And that is the verdict of all scriptures and social orders. Herein, Sringi, a qualified son of a great Brahmana, attained the required brahminical power, both by birth and by training, but he was lacking in culture because he was an inexperienced boy. By the influence of Kali, the son of a Brahmin became puffed up with brahminical power and thus wrongly compared Maharaj Parikshit to crows and watchdogs. The king is certainly the watchdog of the state, in the sense that he keeps vigilant eyes over the border of the state for its protection and defense. But to address him as a watchdog is the sign of a less cultured boy. Thus, the downfall of the Brahminical powers began as they gave importance to birthright without culture. The downfall of the Brahmin caste began in the age of Kali. And since the Brahmins are the heads of the social order, all other orders of society also began to deteriorate. This beginning of Brahminical deterioration was highly deplored by the father of Sringi, as we will find. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, in this purport and these verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're learning something about the system of government in the Vedic culture. Srila Prabhupada, in his discussions with his disciples, Shyamasundar and Hayagriva, went over the philosophies of different philosophers, and there are some conversations about the philosophy of Plato, who in his book, The Republic, had some discussion of the different forms of government. And basically, according to political philosophy, there are three kinds of government: monarchy, aristocracy, and democracy. So, monarchy means there's a king or emperor who is ruling society. And if that king or ruler is properly trained, taking advice from the brahmanas, then such rulers can conduct the government in the proper way. Plato called them philosopher kings. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they're described as Raja Rishis, Rajarshis. Means the same thing. Raja means king. Rishi means sage who has proper understanding of the absolute truth and how it should be applied in human society. So, if such Rajarshis are heading the government, then everything becomes very auspicious for the people in such a society, because they are able to satisfy their material needs in the most simple, natural, and efficient way possible, and at the same time make progress towards the real goal of life: self-realization, God-realization, Krishna consciousness. So, the Vedic knowledge was especially intended for such rulers. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidahu. He says, this knowledge is received in disciplic succession. He's telling Arjuna this. He says, and in this way, the Rajarshis understood the truth. And that helped them govern society. But then Krishna says in the second part of that verse, Sakalena na mahata yoga nashta parantapa. But by the progress of time, in the course of time, this knowledge can become lost, and it has become lost. So he then says, Sa evaya maya te dya yoga prokta paratana bhaktosi me sakache ti rahasyam hi adhutamam. He says, but now I'm going to give you the same knowledge. I'm going to restore the disciplic succession beginning with you, because you are my friend and devotee. Therefore, you're qualified to hear this knowledge and apply it practically in your life for the benefit of the citizens of the state. So therefore, I'm going to communicate this great, mysterious, confidential knowledge to you. So, now, the problem with monarchy is that it can degrade into tyranny or dictatorship. You know, you have one man in control of the state, the king or the emperor, like Parikshit or Yudhisthira. And if they're properly trained, if they're taking proper instruction from the brahmanas, the spiritual leaders of society, then everything is auspicious. But when something happens, as mentioned here in this verse and purport, if the Brahmins become misguided, then the emperor will become misguided and the whole thing falls apart. So then the emperor or the king begins to act for his own self-interest, not for the interest of Krishna, seeing everything as Krishna's property, everyone is Krishna's servant. Then he begins to think, aham amati, it's I and mine. It's I am the supreme power. Everything belongs to me. You know, like we see in the story of King Vena. And he became like that. So that is the problem with monarchy. It can degrade into tyranny or dictatorship. So then there's another system of government, aristocracy. And that's based on the idea that you have the best people in society become together the leaders. And that's not a bad idea, because if you have the best or the leading people in society and they're properly educated and properly trained, and then together, you know, they can decide what is best for society. And, you know, if one dictator tries to take over everything, then they can put him down. So they have this idea of aristocracy. And in a sense, you could say that that's not a bad thing. But the problem with aristocracies is they can degrade into oligarchies where, you know, you have the so-called best people in society, but when they stop acting for the benefit of the entire society and as a group start acting in their own self-interest, then you'll find another group will come up in that society and say, no, you're exploiting, and then they'll put them down, and it'll be like, it becomes a faction. Instead of the best people in society guiding the whole society for the benefit of the entire society, it becomes a faction taking power, trying to keep some other faction out of power, and they're acting very selfishly. And then people just think, well, let's get rid of the aristocracy. Let's have democracy. And in one sense, you know, democracy is based on the idea of liberty and freedom. So in one sense, in an ideal world, if everybody were respecting each other as equals and coming to consensus about things and nobody's exploiting other people, then you could say, okay, you've got democracy. That's nice. But the problem with democracy is that, again, if the people aren't trained in the right way, then their freedom will degrade into licentiousness. Yeah, I'm free to do anything. I'm free to rape, plunder, pillage. I'm free to cheat. I'm free to kill anybody or anything. And then it becomes mob rule. So, Srila Prabhupada, you know, spoke about, you know, these different systems of government. And, you know, sometimes he would say, yes, you can have democracy, but the people should be educated in spiritual principles. And then they will be able to elect a leader who is following the spiritual principles. And in that way, they can have their system of democracy. But if it's not like that, he said, then it's like, I mean, not democracy, but demon crazy, sometimes the term would be used by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. So, and he would say, yes, if you have ignorant people who are living just on the level of animal life, they'll just select. When they have their election, they'll just elect some big animal. And then they wonder. You know, he was saying, yes, you have this system of democracy, and you elect a leader, and then the next day you want to kick him out. Sounds like something we're familiar with today. You know, when Srila Prabhupada said that, it was in 1974, and they were having a problem with President Nixon. So they say, yes, this democracy, yes, you elect this man, and then shortly thereafter, you want to get rid of them. So just shows because the people aren't educated, they pick the wrong leaders, and everything goes down. So the real key is whether you have monarchy, democracy, aristocracy, if the leaders aren't properly educated and the people aren't properly educated, then the whole thing falls apart. So how it can fall apart in the case of monarchy, even a Vaishnav monarchy as is being described here, is that when the brain, the head of society, becomes deranged, then everything else doesn't work. So, as mentioned in this purport, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnya Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, says, I have created this system of varnas, or occupational duties. There are the brahmanas, the spiritual leaders, the kshatriyas, the rulers, the vaishyas, those who are engaged in economic development, and the sudras, the laborers and artisans. And they're all meant to work together. They're all part of the social body. In several places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are descriptions of the universal form of the Lord, the Virat Rupa. And it's stated, as mentioned here, that, you know, the head, from the head of the Virat Rupa, the universal form, come the brahmanas. They are meant to be the leaders of society, giving intelligence and guidance. Then from the arms of the Virat Rupa come the kshatriyas. And like the arms, they are meant to protect society and organize things. And then the social order requires some energy. So there's from the abdomen of the universal form come the vaishyas, those who are engaged in cow protection, agriculture, trade, banking. There has to be some economic development in society. And then from the legs of the universal form come the sudras, or the artisans and laborers who are assisting the other varnas in the social body. And in the system of Daiva Varnashrama, all of the social orders, all of the varnas cooperate with each other. The brahmanas, the spiritual leaders, they give guidance to the rulers, the kshatriyas, who are then able to conduct society so that people can satisfy their material needs and then simultaneously make advancement in Krishna consciousness, which is the ultimate goal of life, to go back home, back to Godhead, to get out of the cycle of birth and death. Janma mrityu jaravyadhi dukkha-dosha-anudarshanam. Intelligent person will see that, yes, the real purpose of life is to become freed from these miseries. And it's possible in such a society. And in that way, you know, the economic development is controlled. The population of workers and artisans is taken care of in a nice way. So in that way, cooperatively, all the different social orders can make progress in spiritual life. Now today, Srila Prabhupada mentioned several times that there are no longer any Brahmins in society, real Brahmins. He said, not that there's not any, but there's just so very few, there's not enough. Not enough to really influence, you know, the whole social order. And no real Kshatriyas either. Basically, he said, you've just got Vaishyas and Sudras. You have business people, and you have workers. And they just fight with each other. So the business people, they want capitalism. And the workers, they want socialism or communism in some cases. So there's not a complete social order in this age of Kali. And things are getting worse. And then the 12th canto of, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, it's described how the so-called rulers of society, they will simply be exploiters, be taxing the people, and people will just run to the forest to try to escape all of the exploitation, you know, that's going on. So we're learning here, you know, how we've come to this position. Srila Prabhupada is saying in this purport, it's because the Brahminical class behaved improperly. Then the Kshatriyas were no longer properly guided. They began to exploit the people instead of governing society for Krishna's pleasure, for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. And then people revolted against them throughout the monarchy, which deserved to be thrown out, and tried different experiments with aristocracy and oligarchy and democracy. Now, some of the Greek and Roman political philosophers said if you have pure democracy, that's not good. If you have pure aristocracy, that's not good. If you have pure monarchy, that's not good. Best thing is to have a mixture. Of them all. And basically that's how the United States government was set up. So that you have a Congress that basically represents the people, you know, democracy. You have an elected president who represents monarchy, executive authority, but, and then you have your aristocracy, which is a check on the president and the people. That's the Senate. So they tried to make some balance. You know, 'cause they know the people can go crazy, so you should have the Senate as kind of the aristocratic leaders, and they can go crazy sometimes, so you have to have a president who's got some authority. And then, but they see it doesn't work out if they're not Krishna conscious. It never works out. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Jai Jagadish. I think there is.
I don't know if this represents ISKCON's official stance, but there was a statement that pornography must be made illegal. Now, I don't indulge in pornography or liquor or prostitution, but these acts do not represent crimes against property or individuals. Can I ask your opinion or understanding about these activities, which certainly are detrimental to spiritual life, but inevitably, at least on earth in Kali Yuga, will go on? How to deal with them? Is that clear?
Yes. So, one thing is there are many things that are legal that we don't do. You know, eating meat is legal, but we don't do it. Drinking alcohol is legal, but we don't do it. So this is one approach, because we are not living at a time when government is being conducted according to the pure Vaishnava principles of understanding. We're living in the Kali Yuga now, so whatever governments there are, they are not being guided by the principles of Dharma. So there are many things that these governments will say are legal that we don't do. So legal or not legal. So in in the present society, we could also say, even if they make something illegal, people will still do it. So ultimately, you know, in some ultimate sense of the word, it's whether something is legal or illegal according to the standards of whatever government there may be in the Kali Yuga. As devotees, we follow our own principles. Now, Srila Prabhupada did say, in terms of the governments today, that they can regulate different kinds of activities, not to encourage them, but to try to keep them, I mean, understanding that people are going to do things, at least regulate it. So he did say that in terms of, you know, the current governments. And then I think on the specific point that you raised, even in terms of pornography, there are different degrees and kinds and levels. And probably, I mean, just even in terms of the ordinary governments today, probably there are at least certain kinds of things that should be illegal. But in this material world, it's understood there's going to be two kinds of people. Krishna said there's the divine and the demoniac. So that's just a feature of material life in the material world, that there are going to be people and governments, you know, that are engaged in all kinds of horrible activities. That's just a feature of material life. So, on your specific question, I say probably, yeah, you know, just even in terms of the Kali Yuga governments that exist now, if some of them are thinking of outlawing certain categories of what's called pornography, that's probably a good thing. But whether it's, as I was saying, whether it's legal or illegal from the devotee point of view, we don't do it. Just like there's so many legal things we don't do. Anything else? Okay, Srila. Well, I was using it as, I was using it in connection with aristocracy. So, both aristocracy and oligarchy mean having a society that is ruled not by one person or by a democracy, but by a select group of people who are considered to be the best qualified people in that society to take this position.
At best in which, what respect?
It could be, now I'm saying, I was using oligarchy in its negative sense as opposed to aristocracy, where you really did have, you could say, in a sense, almost our ISKCON society is run by an aristocracy, you know, the GBC, in a sense, that, you know, Srila Prabhupada, you know, picked his best qualified people, you know, to kind of be the ultimate managing authority, you could say. And that's a genuine aristocracy, you could say. Or, you know, in any society where you have the best people in that society who have the interest of the whole society and all the people, and they try to run things in the best way that works for everyone. That would be a genuine aristocracy. And I would contrast that to an oligarchy where that group, whatever it happens to be, is not really acting in the interest of the whole society as they should be, but for their own party interest as a group. Say, okay, we've got the power now, and let's start using it. Let's exploit the people in every way that we can. So I was using oligarchy in that sense as an opposition to a genuine aristocracy, where you have the aristocracy, which is unselfish, actually trying to act for the benefit of all the people, whereas the oligarchy would be acting in a selfish way. And then, you know, some other oligarchic group will try to depose them, and, you know, it becomes... So that's how I was using the term oligarchy as in opposition to a genuine aristocracy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.